In this episode of Seawell Drag Race Tea Time, Gary and Damon put a spell on you. As the queens break into teams and present a magic set, listen in as the guys cast their shade magic on their feelings with the show. Which queen pulls the rabbit from the hat and which poofs and disappears? Bibbidi-bobbidi-woo your way through as Seawell Drag Race Tea Time, Season 11, Episode 10, starts now.
Hey, kitty girls, it's Sunday, May 5th, 2019, and if you couldn't tell by all the fan clacking in the background, it comes out loud, Drag Race Tea Time, Season 11, Episode number 10, a.k.a. Drag-ra-cadabra.
Drag-ra-cadabra.
That rolls off the tongue so easily.
Instead of, I suppose it's just like drag-a-cadabra, like...
Thank you. Don't need the R as a consonant. So unless that's like a trademark infringement issue, World of Wonder, what the fuck? That extra R's been throwing me off for, what, let's see, today, Sunday, Friday, all Friday night, Saturday night, then say Sunday, yes. A couple of days.
Actually, I think it's been bothering you since what we found out that the title of the next show was Drag-ra-cadabra.
That's true. It's already been a whole week because we found out about the last four episode like titles and dates. Okay. Anyways, for those of you that don't know who the fuck we are and are like, huh? We happen to be two fantastic co-star hosts that put on this lovely little gig that we do to YouTube and then also make into an audio podcast. My name is Gary, and with me is...
Hello, everyone. It's Damon, our pup umbra. That's like what's called pretty much often this weekend.
Yay. All right, so for Here For Comes Out Loud, the podcast, we actually do this other series called COLDR, Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, and we're going to break down discussing our thoughts on the latest episode, and we're going to pretty much just jump right into it.
Let's do it.
First up, we've got a mini challenge.
Today's mini challenge, we're playing a game called Balls to the Wall. Now, each of you will be paired with one of these gorgeous hot misses who are wearing underwear provided by Dirt Squirrel. Now, the queen who gets the most balls in the sack fastest wins. Oh, and one more detail. You can't use your hands. Now, instead, I'll pick a card to determine each pair's position. You know, hip to hip, shoulder to butt, ass to ass.
All right. So we come up with a new mini game challenge, which I actually thought was pretty fun.
Yes.
And keeping to the tradition of what was originally promised at the beginning of the season, we get another returning Rue girl coming into the workroom at the tail end of all the menses.
Yes.
Miss Delta Work just kind of walked around in. I know. And she's pulling this, like, you know, sandy end of like Grease kind of fantasy.
Yeah. It's a little bit of like goth girl kind of thing. Little not gothy girl, but like the, like, not goth, grungy kind of girl, like with the
I saw that with the little red flannel around her waist. Uh-huh. I was kind of like, did you borrow that from Brooklyn? But, anyways, just saying, you know, because that seems to be a common thing that she wears, this flannel. Maybe she's trying to look like Trade. Anyways.
Girl.
So Balls to the Wall is the mini challenge. Basically, they need to try to take, you know, a ball of varying sorts. They're paired up one queen to one of the pit crew. And then Rue tells them what ball to use and then how they're connected, mm-hmm. which I thought was very interesting because that led to some unexpected moments in the challenge.
I will say, yeah, that's a good idea.
David, what were your ideas on the mini challenge?
So for me, really, I thought this was a really awesome, fun idea. Like, I thought it was cute. I thought it was, you know, hilarious. The idea of like, like adding a pit crew and nothing but underwear. I mean, that's obviously for like, you know, like sex sales. We know that. Duh. But honestly, I thought it was fun. It wasn't obviously I wouldn't call it a skills challenge or anything along those lines, but it was kooky and fun. And I loved what some people were kind of coming up with. We got to know that, we found out obviously that Sugar is married. And she was like, oh, I don't know if my husband like, but he's so damn cute. And I'm like, yes, like he is adorable. But, you know, be careful then, Mary.
Well, I was very much appreciative that Sugar was first and she had to put her face right down next to somebody's
ass.
Area. So
face to ass.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny because I thought there was a part of Sugar that was like, don't be fucking up this mug. Like, even though she is boy in this moment, I think she's had a little work done. Like, she didn't have Botox put in her forehead, but I think like she might have had like a little filler in her cheekbones. Sure. Like, so I could see where she would be like, you know, let's not impact the face. Like, let's not strange or weird.
I was also really glad to see, is it Scott?
Sean.
The one with the Sean. God,
the original.
It. Yeah. It's girl, always nice to see him.
Oh, you.
That ain't man. It just that man, like.
I like a thick boy. And notably, Sean's, this is not meant to be shady, but he's put on an LB or two since the last time he was on. Because I noticed when he walked away, there was just the itty bitty, like, you know, folds. Like back rolls. They're not even rolls. I don't even know what they were. But I don't know. But he was the most like animated and fun of the group. Like I think Sean, like because he's been on like what fuck all 20 some years, however long the show's been on.
Yeah.
Like that he's just like, this is fun. Like this is literally just a playground and we're being goofy and nobody gives a shit. And his interactions with Silky Nutmeg Ganache were classic. Like
He I don't know what it is. He's like he's not my type like normally, but he is like just damn
I put it this way, like if I was to see Sean in a bar, I would probably talk to him. Like I may not just walk right up, but who knows, you know? And he's cute, you know. And I would not turn down if he was on one side of a wall and I was on the other, and there was a hole.
Exactly.
That's what I gotta say about that. And if you're not understanding what David and I are referring to, there are pictures on the internet. You can go look them up yourself. Thank you, Google. Uh-huh. Just search. So,
He is a sexy, sexy man, and he is. He has been blessed, as they would say. He has been blessed.
And especially in this episode, he seemed really like, not, I want to say childlike, but like just very kind of fun and like animated in terms of his, you know, personality and stuff. So I appreciated that. For me, for the mini challenge, I basically said there were two things. Vanjie competes, like she gets real damn serious about like strategically trying to win. And Silky uses smarts. Silky's like, okay, the only rules are technically you're not allowed to use your hands. And Vanjie kind of does the same thing.
Yeah.
Because two of the times that they show Vanjie like going back and forth, I was like, is that cheating? And I'm like, I guess it's not because you're technically not using your hands.
You're not putting your hands on the ball, I should say.
So... yeah, and then I also thought it was interesting that Akira like clapped back at what was it? At Silky, because Silky said something about them chicken legs, and then Akira like started doing kicks. It was like, you know, talking back to her, and I was like, ooh. I was like, little shade moment going on. So I did catch actually a little bit ago when I was preparing that audio clip, I thought it was interesting that most of the pit crew was in like this like sea foam taffy mint green color underwear. And then like only three of them were in purple, like this light lilac color, which I thought was odd. And I thought it maybe had to do something with skin tone, but I don't think that was it. And I just don't, I'm like, okay, either they should all be in one color or you should have alternated it up enough that it makes sense. So like they were all pastels, like pink and blue and yellow and like lilac and green. Like it just, it was very confusing to me. And then, cause then my other thought was, okay, so maybe they only sent so many pairs in one color and then they ran out and they had to go start using another color. And the production team didn't think about the visual, like that they all come walking out and they basically color blocked all the green. And then there was this purple. I was like, this doesn't make sense. I know.
Yeah.
It's kind of confusing to me. But
or maybe you're just looking too much into it.
Maybe I'm staring a lot at the crotches. So,
I mean, maybe. I mean, maybe, hell.
Maybe Delta Work and I are related. Who knows?
And just so, like, thank you, Eric. He says, my most favorite mini challenge that I could watch on repeat. I need screenshots so I can zoom in on some of those packages. Me too. Like, me too. Like,
yeah.
There were some very handsome men's and some very wonderful looking packages up in that, like, moment. Good job, Dark Squirrel, on your pouch or package lifting or tuck in, whatever. Like, those are some really good underwear. Let's just say that.
Right. Speaking of Dirt Squirrel, so Damon and I are actually individuals that are proud customers of their products because.
Not me so much.
You have a fan from them, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
You have no fans from Dirt Squirrel.
Correct. Not at all. No.
Are you certain about that?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I have several from Clack That Fan. I think I have one or two. From I can't remember now, but it wasn't Dirt Squirrel.
Okay.
God, I hope not. If it is, I'm sorry. Like I will refrain myself if it isn't. I've had to go look now.
That's okay.
I lost one. The one I'm thinking wasn't from Dirt Squirrel or wasn't from Clack That Fan is my Woof one with the gummy bears on it. And I think I left that at the theater for the 90s concert.
Oh, no.
Eh.
Okay.
I feel sad, but not too bad. But anyway, moving right along.
Dirt Squirrel is known for having these fans with these fun things and stuff on them. That's where my Shade fan's from. So I was pleasantly surprised to see that they now carry underwear, apparently. So they're expanding out. That being said, Miss Vanessa Vanjie Mateo is the winner of a $2,500 gift card from Dirt Squirrel. So that's going to buy a couple fans. they're not cheap. So, I mean, it'll buy a bunch, but, you know.
Still.
So, and here's the thing is, when they give these gift cards out, I haven't been able to figure out yet. If you have to pay attention to the wording, because it says $2,500 gift card from Dirt Squirrel. So is it a gift card, like a Visa gift card for $2,500, or is it a Dirt Squirrel gift card for worth $2,500? Because I think if they say gift card two, that means like you have to spend it with a particular company.
Mm.
But I'm not sure. So, and we'll get to that later when we talk about who's the winner of the episode. Because I'm like, there's a big difference between the two. Because if Angie just won a whole bunch of fans, good for her. But if she actually won cash, then
good for her.
Right. Like you can choose to do stuff with that. Because the show has been criticized in the past for people winning things that they don't need. A la hair products for Sasha Velour. I'm never going to let that go. All right. Moving on. Just saying. It was just annoying as hell.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Needless to say.
Ooh.
Okay. You ready to?
I am ready.
Okay.
They got some fans on sale, y'all, by the way.
Ladies, for this week's Maxi Challenge, you need to razzle dazzle, mystify, and amaze as you star in your very own magic show. Now, you'll be performing in two teams. Now, Vanjie, you won the mini challenge, so you get to choose your magical sisters.
Benefit of winning the mini this time is it's team challenge, and you get to pick teams.
Mm-hmm. You get to pick your team, actually.
Well, right. You get to. Yeah, you basically force the non-picked to be a team.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. I think they were trying really hard to force a storyline that is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Some drama that is not there. And therefore, mm-hmm. I was kind of over it really super quick. And that being that Vanessa does not pick Brooklyn to be in her team.
Yep.
And Rue has to, when she comes back in, to check on the teams, talk to them, and she kind of tries to, you know, talk to Brooklyn about it. And Brooklyn doesn't really take the bait in that she says, I'm not bothered by it. Like, you know, it's
competition. Right.
Like, then she actually, it says, we have a situationship, like meaning we kind of have a thing going on between the two of us, but it's purely because we're here in this competition in this moment together. And I was like, alrighty that, like, look at how adult we're being about this.
I know,
like,
right?
We get to the like freaking 11th season and everyone's all about, you know, trying to make relationships happen on the show in all these years. And now that we have one, it's like, it's not that big a deal. They're just, you know, being extra loving with each other. Although I do think that Rue instigated and said one of the funniest things in quite some time, which she was like, well, did you slip her to the tongue? Brooklyn, like, a couple of times, she's like, did you slip her your pinky finger? I was like, dying. I was like, no, she did not.
Pinky. Did you pinky finger her?
Yes. Yeah, then Brooklyn has like the best reaction. She's like, oh my God. She's like so embarrassed. And she's like, I feel like a 12-year-old schoolgirl. I was just like, that was amazing. It was a moment. So, yes, the challenge is perform in your very own magic show. So the groups are the Mighty Tucks, which are kind of considered the other team, quote unquote, because these are the remainders. It was Brooklyn, Nina, and Suga, a.k.a. White Girls. Which is not technically correct because Suga is Native American and I think Puerto Rican. So she's actually more probably a queen of color than she isn't. So that was another storyline. I was like, okay. And then the team that Vanessa put together was Da Black Magic. So we had Akiria, Silky, Vanessa, and Evie, a.k.a. Team Big Personality. So, Mr. Damon, what were your thoughts on the maxi challenge portion?
I typed this wrong. So one team was spellbinding, another missed the mark. And I bet you can tell which ones. So I was personally really happy with Nina and her team and what they did. Mm-hmm. Their performance was on point. Everything worked. It looked polished. It was so put together. They had jokes. They went back and forth. There was some banter. It was entertaining. I could watch that show again. Like, that's why I liked it so much. Was the magic amazing? No. It was fun. And what they did with it made it fun.
Right.
You know, so kudos to them. And the Mighty Tucks for doing this whole great thing. The other team, it felt, and well, as we find out, they changed a lot of things like at the last minute. And it felt that way, honestly. They started off okay, and then it just kind of went into this weird meh-y like moment for me, like, mm-hmm. I need you to get to the joke. Okay, you go to barbecue to spread the black magic.
Dressed like you are.
Yeah.
Like their look was less cohesive in my opinion.
Yeah.
It just like, and here's one of the key things I think that happened. Suga says in confessional to camera that the night before the three of them rehearsed.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we got together, we rehearsed, we worked it out. And so this morning on the new day, Brooklyn and Nina feel much more comfortable with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Suga never had a challenge necessarily with her magic trick. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And easy enough to do. Brooklyn's, on the other hand, got changed. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing the flying card trick, she ended up doing the hard magic bubble trick.
Yeah.
Nina stayed the same the whole time.
Yeah.
So, but they were also the second team that got their tricks.
Mm-hmm.
The first team got their tricks, and I felt the first team to Black Magic, they felt overwhelmed by,
I would agree,
what the magic tricks were that they were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Like, I've been like, I was wondering, like, how did the tricks work? Did they like get to pick them? Did the script give them, pick them for them? Were there other magic tricks that they could have like chosen? You know, we obviously saw what we saw, right?
Right.
So we don't know what all was.
When they sat down as teams, it appeared that each team in their like paperwork, their prep like folder mm-hmm. of stuff, that they had to choose their tricks, because remember, like, Silky decides she will go with the milk trick.
Okay.
Evie said she would take like the reappearing bra trick.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they kind of picked their specific tricks. And if I recall correctly, none of their team's tricks changed.
Yeah.
So
I can think of.
Yeah. So I don't really know like how that happened. I think that the magician, who, by the way, I thought was kind of cute, like, as I think John made a reference to him, to like, you know, it was Seth Rogen-esque, you know, kind of a goofy guy, you know, thing. But yeah, like there was just something.
Kyle Merlot or Merlet.
Okay.
Just I remembered his name and I wrote down he's cute next to his name in my notes.
Well, I mean, I was like, oh, look, we've got like this bearish kind of husky guy, you know, that's on there in a goofy shirt and whatever. And, you know, is trying to, you know, teach the girl stuff. But at the same time, I felt bad for him because I was like, it seems kind of obvious that he hasn't been on camera before, like on a set where they're filming things, just because of his personality, like how he was reacting to the queens. It was kind of odd to me because it was almost like he'd never worked with drag queens before, like he never understood drag queen humor or their personalities, which I thought was strange, because I was like, Silky was not surprising me. Like Da Black Magic, like their whole premise from the beginning was that it was very adult.
Mm-hmm.
And even I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is the direction we're gonna go. But his reaction to it seemed surprising, so I thought, well, maybe this won't work well for them. There was this whole weird kind of thing about whether or not there's going to be children present. Mm-hmm. So, which then in the audience shots, by the way, John Pauly, I believe, is in the audience. Raven mm-hmm. was in the audience. Like I spotted mm-hmm. some faces. I was kind of like, oh, look at who they filled the audience with. just saying.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know.
I'm unsure about what it was. It seemed very odd. While the guy is cute, I'm trying to look him up. Like, I found his, like, page. I'm trying to figure out if there's anything interesting or fun about him. I can't figure out.
And there was another part of me that was kind of curious as to whether or not he was gay. He doesn't have to be gay, but I know that in the seasons, as time has gone by, Rue has been really supportive of, like, our LGBTQ community. Like, bringing in, like, out-identified entertainers, artists, choreographers. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't want to make that presumption from the beginning, but I didn't get a feeling from him one way or the other, which is perfectly fine. But I was just kind of like, okay, I don't, like, since it wasn't one of the more traditional people, I was like, okay. Like, here's an example of how they could have, like, really stepped beyond their threshold box of entertainers if they had brought mm-hmm. in, like, Penn Jillette.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if they bought in a real magician who has, like, this crazy outgoing personality that, you know, is very definitively well-known. Of course, they probably couldn't afford it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to say.
You know, I'm happy he was, you know, it was a good take. It was a very interesting thing. Like, that was one of the things I was very confused about or concerned about. Like what magic tricks did they know, or what are you supposed to know, blah blah blah. So
right.
But yeah, the other team definitely, like, to me, missed that mark in regards to entertainment. It, like I said, it kind of screeched to a really, really bad halt, like, and I wasn't a big fan of it. Like, it compared
mm-hmm.
the two felt like two totally different things. And yeah
I mean, for me, I summed it up as this way: fun versus awkward. Like,
mm-hmm.
I honestly felt like the Mighty Tux was fun. Like, even though it wasn't revolutionary magic and I figured out all of the tricks, like,
yeah,
it was like, but it was entertaining. Like, it was, yeah, you know, engaging in some fashion. I loved how they threw in these little quippy, like, callbacks to the Rue RuPaul's Drag Race history. You know, like, how they play the whole thing off and Nina's like, so Brooklyn doesn't know it, but she's going to get in this little, like, brown box over here. You know, they, like, put cuffs on her, apparently, you know, and then she does the "I feel very attacked" line.
I feel very attacked.
Right. I mean, like, you know, so there were these great little moments, you know, even the sillier quips in which, you know, Suga is like, oh, I haven't been on top in, you know, a long time. And then Nina's like, we know. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? So it was like, it was fun, shady, kind of like little bantered stuff. That is what, you know, makes people feel engaged and gives them a little bit of humor. And then you get to the other group and it very much felt like four of them fighting against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not fighting, but like not cohesively working well together. And I think part of it came from when they were in the group. Evie was the one that was like, I don't like us doing nothing but improv. I think it'd be better if we had a script that we could rely on. And it seemed like she was in the minority. And the other three were all perfectly fine with just like rolling with whatever happens in the moment and how to handle it. And I think Evie was scared where they were going to have these like deer in headlight moments at which the whole thing would come like crashing
down. Yeah.
So she at least wanted to have something to work off of.
Yeah.
So
it definitely played half-assed for me.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the other thing. Like, I thought about it, you know, like, Silky, I don't know what was up with her look. It was just kind of all over the place. But even Akira, like, she looked more like Vegas showgirl, like over the top. Like, she looked like a circus ringleader more than, like, a magician. Like, I was so confused. I was like, at least on Nina's team, this is still a criticism. Nina's team, they all were wearing like black and silver, so like they at least all cohesively looked like they were together, but like Brooklyn's was all stars and like Suga's was, you know, a little bit more towards what Nina's was with these big shoulder pads and, you know, kind of like the you know, swimsuit deal, like leotard. It was just, I don't know. It was one of these things where I thought, well, they must not have had a lot of time or been supplied with anything to make the group look cohesive. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, yes, they have bolts of fabric in the room, but they were probably so busy focusing on magic.
The magic trick and getting stuff done and making this show. Yeah.
Because I think that would have helped both teams if they had created cohesive looks, like matching esque outfits. Like, they don't have to be identical, like, you know, triplets or quadruplets, but
yeah.
And then like another four, thing, go ahead.
Well, four of the same, like four of the jacket, but in different colors, like one's in red, one's in blue, one's in purple, you know, something along those lines.
Right. But then another thing I thought of is maybe the problem is that there were too many members on that team. Like maybe four was just too awkward. Like, cause Nina and Suga and Brooklyn were really tight. Like,
yeah.
Like you easily got to go from focus from one to the other to the other. And when the, and then when the focus was on the one, the other two were doing something like, but they weren't stealing focus. So like,
yeah,
there was always kind of a balance. And I thought about it and I was like, maybe that was the reason why the other team seemed so awkward. Cause they just didn't have good balance. It felt very much awkward. Like, and now you do something.
Yeah.
And now you do something like, so Eric says in the live chat, Nina's group knocked it out of the park. Vanjie's team didn't even make it off home plate. Maybe that's the problem because it was the magic show and not baseball. But I'm just saying.
Maybe. All right.
All right. You ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
There we go.
#realness.
Okay, so this is a first, I believe, in the history of 11 seasons of the show. Why it took till now to do this challenge, I have no clue as to why. But I was living for it. Part of the reason I was living for it was because at my own event that we just
I know, right?
in the past month, we did a caftan dance. And I think it's silly and fun. Like, caftans are a thing. Caftans are, like, you know, easy breezy beautiful. As Nina said when she walked the runway, she felt the air on her ass, which she hadn't felt in like weeks, which I thought was hysterical. You know, like, it was fun that that was picked. What I was surprised by, though, was that Rue was not in a caftan. I was like, what? I don't understand how the selection of what you're wearing on the runway to go with the episode is not being matched up better. Don't get me wrong, I loved Rue's like tube dress. Uh-huh. I love the chevron type pattern. I thought it was exquisitely made, especially like where how it hits the torso area. Like, and I will say it officially, I have realized that I am a fan for Rue as a redhead.
Mm.
As a woman of color, she has, I think, the right skin tone to pull off red hair where it doesn't look cartoony. It also doesn't look like obviously super fake synthetic-y.
Uh-huh.
There are very few real women of color in the world that have red hair. I will put it that way. So, like, it is kind of a unicorn in a way, but she came out and I was like, wow, like, you look really, really nice. And then later I was like, but you're not wearing a caftan, which she has on the runway. So I was so disappointed, I guess.
Maybe they wanted to show off her shape.
Perhaps.
Her silhouette.
Yes. So caftan realness is the category. Damon, what did you think?
Yas, Nita. That is how you fucking caftan. I'm not like it was so pretty. It was so gorgeous. That when I think of like I'm gonna be a drag queen in a caftan, that's what I think about. So like glittery and blinged out and big and just like when I think of a drag queen in a caftan, that's what I want to see. Like over the top, the hair was big to kind of match the size that she was, you know, because she's a bigger girl. And the caftan, it all worked out and it just so worked so fucking well. There are a few others that were pretty good. Brooklyn, maybe a caftan, kind of a caftan. I felt kind of bad for Suga. I personally liked the whole like three, you know, things, but I think it was kind of forced in a little bit. Like they didn't necessarily go together. And that was sort of my problem. Like,
thematically, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Like if it had gone from like winter wonderland to spring awakening to summer and the beach, like maybe I would have followed that storyline, but
yeah,
it didn't quite work for me.
But the color palette, it completely changed. You went from like these deep like ruby reds with browns and golds to like this, like it's like you left Anna Karenina and you jumped into beach blanket bingo.
Yes.
Like you know, like I don't know. It was just so vastly different. And I was like, girl, what are you doing? Like, I agree that the first outfit would have been fine on its own. I don't think it would have been a knockout, but it would have been something. Like,
yeah. I think if she had gone from one to the other, like that extreme, like the first one to the third one, maybe that would have worked. Maybe, possibly. But to kind of give us this trend, Anyway.
When you said about with Brooklyn, I have to agree that, like, so someone pointed this out, and I think it was on John Pauly's Extra Life recap, maybe. Someone made a reference to the fact that she looked like one of the muses from.
Oh.
Is it the Emperor's New
Groove? Hercules.
Oh, Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, she does look a little Grecian. Like, and she worked the fuck out of the fabric. Like, she really made it work. But I kind of agree with you that it wasn't exactly a caftan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the issue that we have with this episode. So this is what I want to say about this challenge. Bring it back like the kimono Madonna debacle thing and make them legitimately like tackle the challenge. Which gets me to my comment.
Go for it, girl. Do it.
Not a fucking caftan. No, ma'am. She came around that corner in that outfit, and I was like, that is not a caftan. And I was talking to nobody because I was watching it at home all by myself. I did not care who listened or who was around. I was 10 times angrier than Ross Matthews gets. Like, I was not having it in that moment. I was like, that is not a caftan.
I was like living for Ross's like anger. He was literally like legitimately angry. Like, I was like, damn. Like, but I was laughing my ass off for it.
And then a curious like, judge's critique, she's like, in my defense. And I was like, here we go. And I knew she was going to pull that out. When you look up caftan on the internet, it could be spelled with a C or a K. And why do I know this? Because we just had my event and some people criticize about the spelling. And I was like, seriously? Like, anyways.
Girl. So I'm just like, I'm typing in caftan and I'm typing in caftan. I typed them both in. I don't see no fucking butterfly like pantsuit. I mean, so where did you get it, Akiria?
As what I'm saying, as was said by Raja and Aquaria in Fashion Photo Review, it looks more like you just had this in your closet and you decided to wear it and said, well, it's kind of like a caftan.
Nope. No, it ain't. Yeah. I don't know what you're thinking. But like I don't like I literally typed both in and looked at images and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't see anything relatively close to your butterfly.
Oh no. And of course Eric in the live chat says exactly what some people have said already online in a different way. He said, I had flashback to Asia O'Hara with Akiria. It was not only horrible, but it gave me nightmares about butterflies being quashed on the runway.
Oh,
too soon.
No.
I know. I was like, oh, that's just bad. Anything now with a butterfly, it's always in Drag Race, it's always going to be related to poor Asia O'Hara. So
she made a mark, just wasn't a good one.
Yeah, it did not necessarily go well. So, yeah, I was livid about the fact that she wore that butterfly pantsuit thing because, as Aquarius said in Fashion Photo Review, which I realize is why I was so upset about it, she's like, this like skydiving, like, jumper thing? No, ma'am. That is not a caftan. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it looks like. You look like one of those sky aerialist, like, gymnastic people with the wings. I was like, oh, no, 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 girl. No. No. Boo. Not a fan of it. Silky Nutmeg Ganache. So I thought the hair was a stunt. While it's kind of fun, it's kind of cute. It was also not perfectly straight up, which annoyed me.
Uh-huh.
And, like, what I had a problem with was that because the caftan was sheer, you could easily see through it. So, like, she had to wear a dress underneath.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with it, but it just kind of bothered me a little bit. It felt like... Like, when I think of caftan, I think of muumuus, I think of house dresses, I think of Mrs. Roper from Three's Company. Look it up there if you don't know what we're talking about. It's also why you didn't get Michelle's jokes on the runway. You know, I mean, like, it was a very specific kind of thing in time, like, that kind of died out. But, you know, hers seemed to be more to me, like, a little more upscale and not quite fully caftan. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the dress was so easy to see underneath it, the more I think about it, I don't know how shocking it would have been, but probably very interesting if she'd done a nude illusion bodysuit underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just literally a bodysuit that matched her skin tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that would have been enough of a difference that you would have been like, whoa, like.
Yeah, she's naked.
Right. She is naked underneath that thing. Mm-hmm. And there isn't much left of the imagination. So. Yeah. So.
It just felt very. I agree with you totally about the hair being this, like. To me, it was a gimmick. It was like.
Yeah.
Again, for me with Silky, I bought this caftan and figured it fits me, so let's do it. And then, well, I need to do something to make sure that they notice me, so let me throw this big ass thing on my head.
Right. I do want to recognize Evie oddly really surprised me, and I was actually pretty happy with her look. I think that yellow is a really good color on her.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was wholly in certain places strategically, like on the one on her left side towards mm-hmm. the outer edge, like I thought that was a very interesting choice. The fact that she's decided to play with religious iconography, you know, mm-hmm. like her like head and some stuff, like, and then did, because she's got her physical malady, technically, the disease. With her double jointedness, she actually like brought her hands together in prayer behind her back, which I thought was kind of stunty, but interesting that she waited till now to pull that out. And mm-hmm. it thematically went with the story she was telling on the runway in her outfit. And I also was intrigued that Michelle and Rue were not ready for that. I was just like, I was like, oh, that's right. Y'all haven't seen everything we've seen, like to know that much about her condition, like that it wasn't a big surprise.
Yeah.
So, yes. And then I have to agree, like, it was all fucking Nina. Like a lot of people made comparisons that they thought of Lady Bunny. And I was like, okay, for the record, Lady Bunny, to my knowledge, has never stuck her finger in a light socket and fried her hair so that it comes out sideways. Just saying. It's always been, like, 10 stacks high, like, you know, more in a beehive style. And she actually, Bunny tends to dress like a 60s, like, go-go mod girl from,
yeah, with bell kind of dresses kind of thing going. Yeah.
Right. And the big puffy sleeve, like kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So I get that there was a bunny-esque kind of look, but the reality is to me, it was not the same thing. True. So, and I don't agree with Raja and Aquaria on a fashion photo where they kind of were just, they were like, Raja really loved the look of the caftan, the cut, the design, but did not like the fabric. And Aquaria hated the fabric. Like they were like, it's like a little girl's like fabric you'd buy at Joanne Fabrics. Like they were just reading her for it. And I was like, well, I don't, well, fuck all y'all. Like to me, that's a caftan. Caftans do not have to always be luxurious and high end and crazy.
Like, yeah. It's a fucking caftan. Like,
I know. So that being said, the winner of the episode is Miss Nina West. She gets her second win. And she wins a $3,000 gift card from Merrick and Richard, which apparently is kind of like a design company mm-hmm. For fashion and apparel, and a $3,000 gift card from outofoffice.com, which apparently is a wonderful company. So girl got $6,000 in gift cards for this episode.
Go ahead.
I know. I was like, yes, Nina. So this makes her the fourth queen to have two wins each.
Yes.
Season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll come back to that at the end of the show. There's something I want to talk about because we're getting to a certain point in the whole season. So.
Yeah.
That being said, are you ready to move on to our next segment?
Yes.
Okay.
Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
Let it all hang out, hunty. It's Untucked. This episode was memorable for one very specific reason, and it was not drama.
Mm.
Like, there was no like wig pulling, cat fighting, you know, rah, kind of stuff. It was something very different. David, what were your thoughts?
So I know you're talking about I know what you're going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about something that kind of, I called it balancing act. And to me, there was some conversation. So what we find out with the other team, the Black Magic, we find out that Evie apparently wrote the intro and the outro. Like, specifically, she wrote it down, gave everyone lines. And when she was critiqued on her, for lack of, I think she being unfocused or being in her head during the judges, you know, critiques, she made a point to say, like, oh, hey, like, I, you know, I did all this work and I wrote all this down and da 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 da. And at that point, Vanessa kind of comes, not like loudly, but kind of says, you know, I did some like writing stuff down too. And we get this like little back and forth before Akira stops it on the runway. Mm-hmm. And then we get into Untucked and they bring it up again. And it starts kind of the whole, you know, front of the episode about like, it wasn't drama filled, like it wasn't loud and stuff. So we're kind of cooled heads in a sense. But Akira was stating to Evie that it sounded like what she was saying, that none of them did work and only Evie did. Evie was trying to explain that that's not what I was trying to say.
Right.
I was trying to say that I did all this work and I felt like that was what was taking me off my game. It was two conflicting stories, and I can get where that would be a problem from both sides. Like, Evie's trying to defend herself mm-hmm. for what she did, showing that she did something, and because of it, maybe it affected her playing the game. And the other girl, specifically Vanjie, was kind of like, but we did work too. We agreed on it. If we had talked about it more, maybe we would have said something like, well, if you feel like you have to write the things, which she says in Untucked, like, I have to write stuff down. I feel better about it if I have something like a script, something to go on. If you had felt that way, maybe we could have worked it out more. And it's, again, it's this whole balancing act about what, who does what. As we know, this team was a lot of personality. You had Vanjie, you had Silky, you had Akira, who's kind of like, can be like a bit of a personality on our own. And then Evie, who is not as loud and outspoken at times, but not always. Only usually she's loud when she's trying to spill some truth out there.
Right. And I agree that like Evie, you know, she wasn't backpedaling in any way. I think mm-hmm. in Untucked, she was just trying to explain her perspective and was coming around slowly to understanding basically that the other girls were saying, yeah, but the way you phrased it on the runway, you made it seem like we didn't
mm-hmm.
do things when in fact we did do things. And Evie was like, well, I didn't say that you didn't do things. And they're like, yes, but that's not like the way you phrased your statement came across like we hadn't contributed or had done much of the writing. And yeah. or any of the writing in a way. And so mm-hmm. I understood why, like, they, but to me, it was like, this is just the way it is. And at the same time, Evie is still sticking to her core belief, which is not my problem. Like, yeah. you can defend yourself just like I can defend myself, and we can both have differing points of view. But instead of like staying in their lane, most of the queens, I think, come for Evie.
Mm hmm.
And that's where the problem is, because Evie doesn't really come for them. Evie just states like observational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, quit complaining about blah, blah, blah. Why don't you actually try doing what the judges tell you? Mm. Like, that's one of her common themes that she keeps delivering. And the queens don't like hearing that. And she's like, not my problem that you don't like hearing the same thing from me that the judges tell you that you don't listen to. Like,
so I totally agree 100%. I think that Evie just needs to, like, I hate to say it, let it go. Like, because obviously they're not going to listen to the judges. They're obviously not going to listen to you.
Right, right. Yeah.
And then they can just go and go on their own.
One by one every week.
One by one. Mm-hmm. What about you, Gary?
I said how important family love is, and I'm obviously a little sensitive to this, given what's happened in my life recently. So Brooklyn gets a video from home from her mom.
Oh.
You find out that her mom is very religious, but mm-hmm. not like in a weird, I don't want to say weird, not in a conservative, like, you know, you're going to be damned to hell for eternity kind of conservative, mm-hmm. like religious. She's just very like religious. And what I found really interesting was that she came from the side of religion, I think as a Christian, to say, who am I to judge you? Because I am imperfect in my own way that God has made me, and God still loves me for who I am. So therefore, I should love you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And like, that just really broke me down. And yeah. I was like, you know, boohooing along with the queens and watching this video from her mom. And it was really like these are the things in Untucked that I like, honestly, is when we have these growth moments where you get to see a little bit of the background of where a person comes from and you find out about like how they are as an individual. And my impression of Brooklyn's relationship with her mother is that it's not necessarily super strong and tight. And it's partially because Brooklyn is different. You know, mm-hmm. she is gay and she became a drag queen and she left Canada and moved to the US. And so I can see where like they're not, you know, super tight, you know, in as terms of like a relationship bond as a family. Yet at the same time, I thought it was a like really kind of redemptive moment in that you got to understand that as a parent, you have choices to make and how you like see your children and how you, you know, respond to things about them. And I think, you know, Brooklyn's mom came across really well to say, who am I? But, you know, a parent that loves my child and therefore like this yeah. is not something to love, to not love them about, mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. So I thought that that was a really good, like kind of touching moment in terms of the season, yeah. That everyone kind of gets to see that.
It was a very beautiful moment that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And it just, it was, yeah, I mean, I don't want to really comment too much on it because I'll start crying. It was just a very just beautiful kind of situation that like you hear that from the person that probably you thought you would never hear it from, if that makes sense. You know, like that's right. Kind of, I mean, although they probably have known it for a while, but to like have it kind of recorded essentially and put out there for, you know, everyone essentially to see now, right. Kind of really kind of touches the heart. Very much so.
And it seemed that like Brooklyn's mom had a lot to say and that they had edited it just for what we not. And I don't mean edit Untucked. I mean, like the video that they actually played for the Queens backstage, mm-hmm. quote unquote, that had been cut down from whatever yeah. Brooklyn's mom had recorded. And that's also one of the intriguing things I find about these videos from home is like in some cases, like you can tell like the family is not good with technology, so they don't know how video works. Like, they're just trying to like figure out the record button at the end and that kind of stuff, which is fun. And then at the same time, like you get some, you know, like they know their lighting, they know their angle, like very polished. And Brooklyn's mom was very much from the like, I understand Skype. And then she decided to take this moment to really kind of like talk about her learning through accepting Brooklyn, you know, and what all that is. And I thought that that was probably the part that I liked a lot about these like family video things. Like, yes, like sometimes they're very like tearful and stuff because you get a message from home from someone that you love or that more importantly, you know, may not always have been in your corner or you've struggled with, like, you know, in terms of coming out or being a drag queen or whatever it is. And it seems that Brooklyn tried really hard to not say anything negative about her mom, to just simply be like, we had to go through a thing. Like we had to adjust and, you know, and kind of reset in a way our relationship in terms of how we deal with each other and stuff like that. Yeah. And I thought that that was really good. So that's where I was like, all right. Like to me, that's like the important part of this particular episode, not to take away from what you're talking about, but to me, I was just kind of like, meh, 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 meh. Like they're just, you know, yeah. and whatever. So, all right. That being said, are you ready to move on to our next thing? Okay.
Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me and save yourself from elimination. Time has come to lip sync for your life. Good luck and don't fuck it up.
So the bottom two this week are, oh, I suppose I should probably, like, you know, play this just in case. Yeah. Spoiler alert. In case for some reason you haven't seen the episode and you're watching us two fools. We already spoiled who won. We're
about to spoil
who's in the bottom. So Vanessa is in the bottom again.
Uh-huh.
For the second time, and Sugarcane.
I think this is actually the third
for Vanessa.
I think. Let me check.
Okay.
Let me look.
I thought this was Vanessa's second time, and the only reason why I thought about that is because she was just in the bottom a week ago. And I thought, oh, here we go. Like, we're on that train. Like, this is usually how it happens. You end up in the bottom. You stay in the bottom. Like, you might get to a third time or a fourth time, and then that's it. Like, there's, like...
Okay. She wasn't in the bottom. She was a low 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So...
And now, is this Sugarcane's first time in the bottom?
No, she's been in the bottom. This was her third. So, she was in the bottom six with that wonderful team kind of thing. Right. Then she was in the bottom two weeks later. Right. And then she was in the bottom this time.
So, oh, well, we're going to talk about that. So Eric says in the live chat, Sugar should not have been in the bottom. This is where the episode just pisses me the fuck right off. So here's the interesting thing, because a lot of people have feelings about this.
Okay.
They feel that it should have been handled as a team challenge, meaning Nina being the winner, her team was the better team. So all three of them should have been safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the two in the bottom should have come from Vanessa's team. I never saw it that way.
Mm-hmm.
After that got brought up online, I was like, oh, that is technically an interesting way to look at it. Like, because in the past, the majority of the time, when a team does bad, either the whole team is in the bottom and then the bottom two come out of that, or you know what I mean? Like, kind of naturally progresses. And that was not the case this time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I don't know how I feel about it at this moment. Like, if I had an opportunity to watch the episode again, mm-hmm. I agree that Sugar was not like a standout, but I don't think she did bad. You know, I don't think her runway was bad. Well, actually, I do think her runway was bad. Never mind. Let me rephrase. I just thought she could have maybe done something else. I didn't think this was not a bottom two offensive week for me, for her. Vanessa, kind of.
Well, so know. If you're going to apply the thing that Vanessa was the leader of the team that was in the bottom, and that's why she's in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think it lends more to the way people are feeling about this episode, that Sugar should have not been in the bottom.
True. I think it should have been Vanessa. And I want to say Silky. Maybe now, Silky, maybe. I don't want to say Evie per se, but.
I know. So here's an Evie. I know, but here's the thing. Like, so I think it should have been Vanessa and probably Evie. Or maybe Akira. And here's the problem. Here's why. Because Silky was funny enough in their own skit with her quips and her personality.
Uh-huh.
That I think people are okay with her, like, and her performance, even though her hip pads were problematic and her look was not that great. Like,
oh my God.
That I know, girl. So, like, it was just one of these things that I don't know. I'm really kind of
torn.
Yeah, because this is where I think we're ending up at. So we're going from 7 to 6. And yeah, mm-hmm. we're going to spoil like what's going to happen, that we're going to end up with 6. Somebody does mm-hmm. go home, just letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I think we've passed the halfway point, and now we're starting to move into that phase that, Damon, you and I have talked about this before. It no longer is about the week to week. I think the judges and Rue are really starting to think more about what you've brought to the table mm-hmm. and what you could bring to the table, so to speak, like what you're going to bring to the runway, like what you're representing and how you carry yourself. And that's where now we get these kind of odd cutouts in terms of who is in the bottom and who gets sent home. because we're very quickly entering the finale. We're very quickly entering top four.
True.
So I think that's part of this point. And I think you and I were discussing it like this past week about where who we thought were probably the most likely next two to go to get us to top five to top four.
True.
And so Suga to me was not going to be top four. Like I just, I didn't expect it. So the fact that she was in the bottom didn't bother me. The fact that, spoiler alert, the fact that she goes home is also not a surprise to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I from the viewpoint of her not having, she should have not been in the bottom because of being on the winning team and past history. I can understand that. I don't know. Like, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other because I kind of felt like, well, somebody got to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found more interesting was the fact that Vanessa and Suga had to perform to No More Drama by Mary J. Blige.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful song. It's an emotional song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very well-known song.
Girl.
I'll get to that in a moment. So you start with your part first.
So good fucking song. I love this. Like, you know, this was one of those songs where it felt appropriate given what we've seen so far in, you know, the recent months or, you know, weeks of the episodes. It was such a, it wasn't an awful Lip Sync for Your Life, but it was to me becoming very clear who was going on top. And no, you know, discount to Suga's performance, but I don't know if you noticed, but her eyes were closed a lot.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. It just felt odd to me. And while the song is emotional, and has the potential for, like, I'm going to, like, you know, close my eyes and do some stuff, like, you know, artistically, whatever. You know, they probably want to see you and see your eyes and see your face. And Bianchi was given everything. Like, she was throwing jewelry all over the fucking runway. She was bouncing and dancing around. She threw her the thing that was holding her hair down, she took that off so her hair would be, like, you know, wild and shaken. It just, it all just kind of worked for me.
Yeah.
It was just, it wasn't bad, but it was, she definitely was fighting for her life in a sense.
Yes.
So what about you, Mr. Gaddy?
So here's the thing that I have a problem with, and it's completely my problem. I call it the original is not the remix.
Mm.
I think most gays know the dance remix version of No More Drama, not the original.
Mm-hmm.
Because what the original doesn't do is it doesn't climax.
Mm-hmm.
The original kind of starts low and slow, and then it gradually grows and it gets more emotional and you get into this stuff and see, like, I'm getting goosebumps starting to think about it. But then it just doesn't quite deliver. It has this amazing turn and it kind of, like, it kind of crests, but it doesn't climax. It, like, kind of just quickly subsides and goes back down and has this soft ending. And as a person, as a performer, I'm like, this has to be one of the most excruciating songs to perform because you don't get to go fucking nuts. Because the song doesn't call for it. The song does not peak that way. The song kind of suddenly throws it into lower gear and then, like, you know, and it backs back down. And so I was bothered by the fact that it was the original only because I wanted to see Vanessa lose her shit. She was working the hell out of that caftan dress. All she needed was the remix at that one moment where it starts to kick in, and you knew the whole place would have been on fire. Like,
yeah,
set would have been in flames. Every queen would have been throwing money at the stage because immediately, like, you just start to Stevie Nicks the fuck out of it. You start turning and, like, turn and burn the hell out of it, spin around, and then you eventually fall on your knees, throw yourself all over the place, major fucking drama, and that's not what happens. So it was good, but it was anticlimactic. It was like I don't think I've ever said this in the history of lip syncs of RuPaul's Drag Race, but I think I got blue balls from this. Like, I was I was not disappointed. I was just dissatisfied, I guess, like, because it didn't get to deliver the way you really want it to, because the song doesn't do that, because it's the original, not the remix. So,
womp, womp, womp. So we've got some comments for...
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Let me just read this. So, Philip says, I just think this is the second time Silky was read a lot and they didn't put her in the bottom. And then I think he continued his comment, but Eric kind of said it before it, but it's like they need a big girl to stay in the competition to a certain point before cutting her out. Well, I mean, I mean, I'll get to Silky later. Eric says 9.5 times out of 10, the bottoms get based off performance in the maxi. Akira should have been there with Vanjie because she fucked the runway completely up on top of the poor maxi performance. Okay, I can see that.
Right. I especially agree with what Eric's saying there. Like, when you want to balance out and say, okay, how important was the runway? How much does that make a factor? Then yes, absolutely. Akira really should have been in the bottom, like, three, if not bottom two, because of the caftan crap.
Yeah. Agreed.
Now, I will say this, because I thought it was hysterical in the episode about how they had to edit their own show and, like, redo it, quote unquote, at the last moment. And I love how they included that Rue called it out and goes, so you redid your show because it was too adult, yet the deep throating balloon act stayed in?
True. I mean, true.
I know, but what's funny about it is I was like, well, technically it's supposed to be sword swallowing, but I guess because they're drag queens and liability and insurance policies and whatever, they couldn't really swallow a sword. So instead they swallowed a balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Great. So Eric says, I'm just tired of Silky and Vanjie being thrown bones just to keep entertainment on the show.
Ooh. Oh. Go ahead, Eric. It's that shit.
So,
fan. Like,
we'll get back to that, I think. All right. So, as I said, Sugar Cane Sachet is away.
Womp, womp.
We're down to six. So, that being said, let's get into our next segment, shall we? All right, high points, low points, snaps and eye rolls. Damon, who do you give snaps to?
I am giving snaps to the entire team, the Mighty Tucks. As I mentioned earlier, I loved their magic show performance. Yes, the magic was cheap and fake, but what helped me was that they were very entertaining. They had this it was very well scripted. I'm assuming Nina did a lot of the work on this. It was very well detailed. They had characters that worked really well. I loved it from beginning to end. It kept me engaged despite the fact that it was not the greatest magic. But they all played off each other. The banter was good. They didn't necessarily run anyone over. It was a very good, balanced show.
Right.
Well, Nina kind of took the ball and, like, ran with it, literally. But,
well, yeah.
But, you know, Brooklyn did her thing, and I love that Brooklyn has open developed a little lot more, mm-hmm. while she's still keeping to the whole I'm a dancer, and she can move very gracefully and what have you. She's using some of that in different ways to kind of bring on the laughs in her comedy. Mm-hmm. We saw it last week with the whole level 4 vegan thing. And we're seeing it now. So kudos to her. And Suga, I liked her in this thing. I agree with Eric and Philip that she should not have been in the bottom, but unfortunately them's the breaks. Like, I don't know. Like, in my mind, I get totally what you're saying, that it shouldn't have been her going and in the bottom, but what can we do about it
right
at this point?
It may have just been inevitable. Like, eventually you got to go, girl. Like, you just ain't going to lose again. So my snaps are for Nina fucking West. Like, and she actually has t-shirts that say that, by the way. You can go buy them online. I might just go buy one. Here's the thing. Like, I'm really, you know, I've been in the camp of Nina from early on in the season. I like what she does. And as everyone kept saying over and over again, this was Nina's to win, because this is what she does. She puts on shows. She does full production things, works on stuff. There's footage recently online of her. Earlier this year, she got to play Ursula, the sea witch, in a stage production musical of The Little Mermaid. And she was good in it. I mean, like, it's just who she is. So the fact that she was kind of like the star of the Mighty Tux was not necessarily surprising. I liked the fact that technically Nina had two tricks, but the first trick was really her joining, coming on stage thing. Mm-hmm. So the appearing kind of aspect
with
before was technically a magic trick, but you may not realize that. And then, like, the whole, like, everybody gets a bottle because alcoholic thing, which was kind of sick. But I like the fact that, like, Suga got her thing with the tucking panties, and Brooklyn got her thing with the bubbles, and then they did the switch with the box situation.
Mm-hmm.
So technically Nina was just there, like, ta-da, you know, while the other two girls were doing the other trick. So I like the fact that Suga and Brooklyn got to work together on a trick. So technically everybody did two tricks. Two of them got to work on a trick together. And actually, I guess now that I think about it, the three of them worked on the other trick with Nina, like the reveal of her appearing. So like, I just, it was well done from beginning to end. And then I love the fact that I personally think she slayed the runway with the caftan look.
Oh my God. She's so fucking dead.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Eye rolls, Damon.
So my eye rolls are for Sickly, Nutmeh, Gabeh. I am tired of her. Like, I am done. I don't, she seems to have, like, I'm just going to, you know, coast, essentially. I'm not going to do much more. She's never changed her look face-wise ever. We get a different hair. Like, thank God for this caftan that she found, because, you know, I'm just getting tired of everything. And I agree with Eric that, like, I feel like they're keeping her in probably for her personality. And that's what's bothering me the most. I've had enough of it. Like, I'm over this, like, loud mouth, whatever big thing that's trying to, like, make a name for herself and get her own show and all this shit. I wouldn't watch a show that she was on. I wouldn't. Like, after an episode, I'd be done, because it would just be her. Boom, man, that's it. Here's my awful hair. Like, da-da-da. Just, like, no. Like, I'm not seeing growth, and I'm not seeing change. And that's what I usually like to see in my winning queens. I like to see a story. I like to see an arc where maybe they're not so great in the beginning. They kind of build up, or maybe they are doing really well in the beginning, but then they get knocked down a peg, and we get this whole, like, arcs of their redemption in a sense in regards to doing well in a show. And then that's how they kind of, the competition goes on. And here we go with the final four and here, and then they win, you know, kind of thing. That's what I usually like to see.
Mm-hmm.
If Silky makes it to top four, I will be flabbergasted. I will probably be more angry than I am right now because I don't think she deserves it. I'm not going to call her talentless in that regard. I'm going to call her mediocre.
Okay.
Like, I'm not getting anything good from her. Personality aside, yes, she's funny. She can quip and what have you at times. But after a while, it becomes a lot of the same shit. Right. Same shit, different day. And that's when it is boring to me. Having said that, I think she should also, I don't think she should have been in the bottom this week. I think it was fine for her to be safe. As much as I would have liked her to have been in the bottom, I don't know. I don't think it would have worked. I feel and I hope that the whole fact that she's going to have to potentially paint another girl is going to throw her off her game. Because she seems to be really only able to paint one face.
Mm. Interesting.
How about you, Gary?
Mine kind of segues or falls right into where you were leaving off at. I said no growth queens. My eye rolls are for these queens that are just not changing. They really aren't challenging themselves. And like in the case of Silky, she doesn't think that she needs to change.
You just read. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I think that Vanjie's not growing and evolving and changing. Their note and criticism back to her all the time is, girl, you are at level 10. Like, you start at 10, you end at 10. You were always at 10. You were always Vanessa. You were always Vanjie. And there's nothing that's coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel bad for Vanessa because she doesn't know what to do with that. As Jinx Monsoon said in the pit stop this week, when you're a returning queen and you're known for one thing and it becomes your brand, it's very difficult to break out of that mold.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you think you should be delivering all the time, or what you're told is good about you. And yet at the same time, the season, that's all Vanjie's been getting is like criticism about the fact that she's Vanjie. Like that they want to see more out of her.
Mm-hmm.
So my eye rolls though are that is the fact that she's not really seeming to understand how to change. Suga didn't seem to be changing a whole lot. Like she said she was attempting to, but she always seemed to just fall back into like the same level. And Silky, you know, like I was saying, she just thinks that she's okay the way she is. And it's like, well, no, girl, mm-hmm. you're not okay the way you are. And no, you will not win with that attitude or how mm-hmm. you are delivering.
So fucking true. I'm like I said, I'm done. Like I'm done with her. Like it'll be great if she, you know, stays and maybe makes it top four.
Right.
But I don't think she has it to win.
Right.
Like I just don't.
Yeah.
And holy fuck, if she actually wins.
She's not going to win. I don't think she's going to win. So this gets into the thing that I've been kind of teasing that I want to talk about before we do our closing.
Mm-hmm.
We're now down to six. So we now have Akiria, Brooklyn, Nina, Silky, Vanessa, and Evie. I would like to, I think in our entourage, and if I could figure out how to do it, create like a Google Doc and have everybody put in their top four.
Mm.
Now that we're at six, who do we think are going to be the top four? The presumption is we're going to have the same ending that we've had for two seasons now, where top four end up doing lip syncs. So two queens randomly selected lip sync together. The other two queens automatically lip sync together. The winners of those then lip sync together. And that's how we get the ultimate winner.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what everybody's top four choices are like at this point where they feel, because I think there's definitely now one person are two people that may very well feel like they need to fall out, like they need to go away before we get to top four. And then what I want to know is if we can create it kind of like bracket style, like who are your top four? Who mm-hmm. do you think is going to make it like ahead, and who do you think will win, kind of a thing, or who do you want to win? Like, I just, and maybe I won't create the document. Like, I just think it'll be an interesting discussion because we've now entered this point where we were talking about, I think four of the queens have two wins. And if you want to mathematically look at it, like, and use that as the rationale as to who the top four are, I think that's mm-hmm. one way to look at it. I think there's another way in which there's discussion about, you know, keeping a big girl in the competition, keeping big personalities in the competition, and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And also notably, we have two people who have not been in the bottom two. Am I right about this?
Technically, yes. So, so just so everyone's statistics. Hey, that's me. So Nina and Silky have never been in a bottom two.
Right.
Akiria, Brooklyn, Nina, and Silky have two wins each. Evie has a win, but has been in the bottom.
Okay.
Once. Vangie does not have a win
mm-hmm.
and has been in the bottom twice.
Okay. So, because my thought on it is, if you get one of those two or both of those two to be in the top four and they've never lip synced, it will be very interesting to see them lip sync for the very first time
mm-hmm.
in top four contention.
Yeah.
And they might have to lip sync twice. Mm-hmm. If they do well enough in the first round, they might have to lip sync again to win the crown.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that'll play out.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting thing. As you know, as I'm like, I look at this statistic, and I'm looking at this statistically.
Mm-hmm.
Like balancing like lows and highs and safes and wins. Brooklyn's first,
mm-hmm.
Nina is second, Silky is third, Akiria maybe fourth. She's got a lot of, Akiria had a lot of safe, so, mm-hmm. and then you put Evie and then Vangie. Like, if you were to, like, bracket them off based on, totally on just, like, wins, safes, lows, you know, highs, etc. I can see this kind of thing. Brooklyn has had a lot of highs, but she's been in the bottom once. She's got two wins, and she's been low once. So yeah, it's gonna be an interesting couple of weeks. If we go with trend, and I'm just gonna put it out there, Vangie's gonna be gone this next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something dramatic happens.
Right.
After that, it's probably going to be Icy Silky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I'm looking at it, like, the fact that she has two wins, it's kind of counter by the fact that she's been low a couple of times, and on fact, she's had some highs. Evie has a bottom, but she has a win, and she's been high in five of the 10 episodes. So in half of the episodes, she got really good critiques. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, like.
Right. And so if we're going off of what is supposed to be the upcoming episode, so this next one is called Bring Back My Queens, which is a makeover challenge, mm-hmm. which is really late in the season, actually.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've usually done it with like six or seven. I'd have to go back through and look again, but
I guess the reason why I feel like it's late is because after the makeover challenge, there's one more and then we move into reunion and then it's finale. Like,
oh, true.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, it's late in the season. Cause technically that means there's only four more episodes, technically two more competitive episodes, then the reunion, then the finale, like super fast. It's going to be over with. So yeah, like,
so last year, sorry, just as I'm going to it, it was episode 10. Which was also the episode that Monet got eliminated, which was two before the reunion and three before the finale.
All right. So that is following the same pattern. We're just one episode number wise higher, probably because there's one more queen this season.
Mm-hmm.
15.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, like, I think, you know, like, we have two more weeks. We're going to lose two more queens. We'll go from 6 to 5 to 4, and then we'll know who our final four are. And then, as you and I were discussing, like, they've shaken up the calendar, because normally they would record the finale on the Sunday after DragCon ends, as well as the reunion, like, the day after, or I don't know, or maybe on the day before, something like that. And then, like, the very fast turnaround, they would produce those. But it appears that, I don't know how they're doing it this year, because I've seen no notices about tickets or dates or any of that kind of stuff. And it's usually on Mother's Day weekend, but DragCon got moved to the last weekend of the month.
Mm.
So I think this coming Sunday, a week from now, is possibly when the finale is being taped, along with the reunion. And then that still gives them enough time to crank out the reunion on the 23rd, and then the finale will be on the 30th, which will be after DragCon, which is interesting, because that means technically when LA DragCon happens, the new current reigning queen does not get to walk the pink carpet runway entrance. Well, I guess technically none of them do, because it's always airing after DragCon. So,
okay. Thank you, Wikipedia. Or not Wikipedia. Thank you, Internet. The finale is May 13th.
Oh, so it's Monday, the day after Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry, there's a Ticketmaster. So
post. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's none say there, you can't buy any. But, like,
right.
It's gonna be apparently taped Monday, May 13th at 6 o'clock.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there you go. All right.
That's where things lie. We're down to 6 and soon 5, then 4. And we're going to have finale. A finale. And we'll have crowned a new winner. So if you would like to discuss your ideas with us on how things are going with Drag Race, you can go to our blog, cubsoutloud.com. You can leave a comment on a post there. You can send us an email to cubsoutloud@gmail.com. You could also give us a ring and leave us a voicemail message at 361-CLWTALK. That's 361-265-8255. On social media, just basically type in Cubs Out Loud for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that kind of jazz. You'll find us on there. If you would like to join the Entourage social chat, you can go to tinyurl.com/telegram-CLDR to join the chat. And now that Damon and I have recorded this week's episode of CLDR, they can start talking about this and get all their thoughts and ideas.
Air their thoughts. Air that laundry shit. Go for it.
Put your tux on the line, girl. Make sure you air them out. If you would like to support Cubs Out Loud overall, there are two ways you can do that. You can go to our Zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud store, and you can get, like, fun little things, like, you know, this hat that I'm wearing. We have t-shirts. We have all sorts of different things, not just only with Cubs Out Loud on it, but also our COL Drag Race, like, icon, which is the bear with a crown. Yes. You can also become a patron and go to patreon.com/cubsoutloud, where Mr. Eric in the live chat actually tonight is one of our patrons. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Our Patreon over the past year was successful in that allowed us to pay for our domain and hosting for the coming year. Yay. So thank you very much. Like, we met the goal. That's been a long time coming to be able to do that part. So also you can help you know, promote Cubs Out Loud. Talk to other people about it. Let them know. You can rate us on iTunes. You can subscribe on Google Play Podcasts. I believe Jeff said we're coming to
Spotify.
Spotify. I think that's what he said. Anyway, so basically wherever you like listen to Cubs Out Loud, you can find us. We do have our own Cubs Out Loud Drag Race feed though. So
yeah,
just be aware of that. Damon, if they want to get in touch with you, where would they find you online?
If you want to get in touch with me, and you know that you do, you can always find me as TheaterCub79 on most bear-related sites, or you can find me as pup_Umbra on Twitter.
Okay. If you would like to get in touch with me, you can pretty much find me anywhere online as Garbear73. That's GARBEAR73. And with that, we are going to go to the moon.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good one, y'all. And if you want to support Nina West, you go to ninawest.com/shop.
Buy that shit.
Bye.